What's going on, Minnesota Viking fans? Welcome to the Purple People Podcast. My name is Kyle Smith, and as always, welcome back. It is the middle of the free agency period in 2024, and we had fun last week. We talked about a bunch of crazy stuff and didn't think it was going to be over, but what do you guys think? This is the craziest free agency period we've ever seen for the NFL as far as movement and just names going everywhere.
Oh, it's been wild, dude. I mean, we've seen some big moves from the Vikings, but usually it's like one big move. Oh my God, we signed Brett Favre. That was madness. Or, you know, even draft day trades. We've seen big draft day trades. We've seen them go for Jared Allen, but that's like one moment. Or what was the year with Spielman that we had three first round picks?
2013.
Teddy Bridgewater, Xavier Rhodes, and Sharif Floyd.
Yep.
Patterson, Xavier Rhodes, and Sharif Floyd, correct.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yep. So we've seen moments, but this is like the longest period of madness where it's been like week and a half of just signings everywhere from Minnesota. Big moves, too.
Right now I'm just trying to figure out how you guys look so good, and I look moderately homeless down here.
What I always admire about your space, Adam, is you have that cool mirror, and I don't know if that's a chandelier or just some kind of a lamp, but it's always reflecting.
My grandma's have that chill lamp. I don't know where it came from, but that thing is old.
I like it. I like the mirror in the background, too. I'm a big fan of that. I want to use this analogy, but when I thought about it while you guys were speaking, I don't want this to come off gross and weird and dumb because people are take stuff out of context. Obviously, I don't think the NFL is like you actually buying a person because that's terrible, but think about this analogy.
Adrian Peterson thought that.
Some other guy said that too. It was wild. Yeah. It's like when you go to when Rick Spielman was the general manager, I felt like it was a comparison, and I do this a lot. When you go out shopping, whether it be for groceries or for home improvement or whatever, and you have a general idea of what you want, and sometimes you get extra stuff that you don't necessarily need, but it's there. That reminded me of that 2013 draft that you said, hey, we're going to take a swing on all these guys. One guy was great. One guy was all right. And then the other guy didn't work out. I feel like the Vikings are a lot more calculated with this regime. They knew what they thought they were going to lose in Cousins, and we'll talk about Danielle Hunter, because last week when we went over everything, the Kirk Cousins news was big. He signed with Atlanta. Alexander Mattison left. We talked about the kicker that's coming in, but there's been a lot of traction since then, and even bigger news, which we're about to jump into. But I feel like Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell are very calculated, and despite what Mike Florio might tell you on his show, I don't think there's animosity between them just because one coach.
Why would there be? Why did he say that's stupid? Why did he say
watch,
that?
If you watch the posts, like first two or three days after the league year started. Kevin O'Connell is sitting, if you're watching the screen on the right, Questy's talking, and he's looking down at his notes. And when he's talking about Kirk Cousins, Kevin O'Connell is looking down. And Mike Florio has to make everything a big deal. He's like, is there tension between these two? Look at how he's looking down at his paper. He's not looking at the crowd. And
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're trying to build like Kevin O'Connell wanted Kirk Cousins back at almost any cost. And, you know, Questy wasn't willing to do that.
As a head coach, you always have to stand up for your players, even if you know they're on their way out.
Well, let's be honest here. The three of us, each of us would have loved Kirk Cousins to come back for another year.
Yeah.
Great.
Under the right circumstances.
I think all three of us, that was like option number one.
The circumstance was not there to make it happen. Minnesota was not going to match what Atlanta was going to do. And apparently Atlanta and Kirk had a little bit of discussions before they were allowed to.
For him to be so savvy business-wise and the money he's made, I can't believe that he said that, talking about, oh, yeah, I've talked with the training staff and all that before. Like, you got to be smarter than that. Because even the Vikings stand to gain absolutely nothing from this. I know there was some stuff floating around on Twitter about, well, maybe they'll get a comp pick. Nah, probably not. May Atlanta lose some compensation that way? Maybe. The same with the Eagles and Saquon Barkley. They're looking into that as well. But I can't believe Kirk like kind of slipped up on that.
I don't want to spend too much time on this because we got a lot of Vikings news. But like, how deep is the NFL really going to probe into that? Because I feel like it's a the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Didn't the Pats lose like a second rounder or something because of it?
But every team tampers. This so-called no tampering period is like, dude, they even talk about how that's what goes on at the combine. Like, you go
not
there.
Only that. Think about that, Kyle. Think about all that's going on with ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC and all these sports shows. What are they? It's the middle of the off season. The Super Bowl was literally 6 weeks ago. And the only thing we're talking about right now is the NFL draft on every sports outlet. Yeah. If there was a smart lawyer that could make that kind of argument to be like, okay, you want to go after the team that I represent? Well, let's see about how much money you guys are making off of this news that you're spending about these people, because that's all it is. It's generating so much buzz.
It's not that teams aren't doing it. It's that teams are getting caught doing it.
Correct.
I mean, I think every team does it.
100%.
You've got to. You have to have an advantage. It's like, I forget who made this comparison, but being strong and fast and being an athlete doesn't really get you far in the NFL. You have to find a competitive advantage somewhere. That's why I love how detailed and meticulous these guys are. And to see, you know, how the guys that win consistently for a long period of time. I'd love to get in the mind of Patrick Mahomes just to see what his routine is like. Okay, what do you do compared to this guy?
State Farm commercials.
Yes, he also takes Veteran Tuesdays off, but only to film his next commercial with Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. But
and Heinz ketchup.
Forgot about that. Heinz ketchup is the superior ketchup, by the way. Everybody comment if you're listening. Do you prefer Hunt's or Heinz?
I go store brand.
That's fair.
I'm cheap.
But yeah, Kyle was right. There's been a lot of Viking news. Let's start with the small stuff before we get to the main topic. Kyle had mentioned before, I don't want to steal all your info, but Brandon Powell, our beloved wide receiver 3 last year and punt returner, I believe.
Yeah,
he's back. I think a 1-year deal, much like that Jarius Wright kind of Aldrick Robinson role. He's a smaller body, but I love how he fights for the yardage after the catch.
I was talking on Twitter yesterday about how he kind of, in the second half of the season, passed up KJ Osborne as being the third option.
Yeah.
And he used to come back and be the punt returner as well. So I love this signing for what it does for Minnesota.
I do too. It's a good value signing. He will contribute on offense, contribute on special teams. Speaking of KJ Osborne, I believe he's a New England Patriot now.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Is anyone surprised he did not return to the team?
Now, with his contract, he cancels out some of the other contracts that the Vikings have signed, and it almost ensures now that Minnesota will get a second third-round compensatory pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
This next year is loading up to be a hell of an offseason for the Vikings.
Which does mean that that third-round pick for Minnesota next year would easily go in a package to go up in the draft.
We'll get there in a minute, too.
Can't wait to talk about that. Yeah. But not only that, Adam, but you got to think, too, next year we were talking about last week, the salary cap, the signings and stuff. The salary cap's going to keep going up because NFL viewership is going to keep rising, TV ratings dictating how much teams make and all that fun stuff.
And like the deals with Amazon and Peacock and all that just going wild.
They're going crazy, right? So this means more revenue for the NFL. The salary cap will go up. The Vikings are going to be, I think, at minimum top 10. Quote me if I'm wrong. Fix me later on it. But
I want to say top five. Yeah.
Top five in cap space next year. And if they're going to get extra picks for some of these players, they're going to be in prime position to keep rebuilding the team. And
this year's a little rough because Minnesota still is trying to work off some of that dead money from those really bad contracts that are going on out there that Minnesota tried to move on from. And we're paying for it right now, but Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is doing a great job of making that money available down the road.
If we thought that this year was wild in free agency, what they are going to have the ability to spend next year is like they're going to go after some priority free agents, some big name, big money spending next year to add to this team.
They'll be able to pay for someone to fill in for Justin Jefferson after he doesn't sign an extension.
And he's going to Cincinnati,
you
right?
Shit stir you. Well, I have two things to say. Number one, I hope Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is watching closely and learning every little detail he can from Howie Roseman over at the Philadelphia Eagles. They have combined powers again and done all kinds of craziness. and they're building a super team in Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley,
dream team.
They are. They are. I mean, I can't believe their offense. Jalen Hurts is a legit quarterback. I don't care what anyone says.
You can every dream team people. Has a Christian Leitner.
Christian Leitner. but yeah, he's a legit quarterback. You know, you can compare what number he would be on a 1-10 system. I think we all agree unanimously Patrick Mahomes is one. And then let the players follow their may after him. But he's a legit quarterback. A.J. Brown is a stud wide receiver. Great number two, Devontae Smith.
Them signing Saquon Barkley to that.
It's unfair.
It's like, I hate the Eagles. I love that signing, though. That's a good fit for that team.
Well, think about when we talk about a different team for a second. Think about the struggles he had to overcome in New York. Their line hasn't been great. The quarterback wasn't great. And he still managed to stand out. And when you watch with the eye test, you say, oh, shit, that guy's very good at his job. He's very good at his position. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to be on a snap count, but their running back room is going to be deep, even though he's the guy. Now he's got a good line. Who do you defend? You can't load 8 in the box because you have the 2 studs on the outside or over the middle.
No, Philly is not on Minnesota's schedule next year, right?
I don't believe so. What's up, Yogi? Thanks for coming in. Thomas, Andrew, we agree the Eagles will be scary, but I just want to point that out because Kwesi should – look and see what they're doing. And what they do there, when you establish yourself as we will be in the playoffs every year, you will have a chance to compete for a title. Guys will come over and, you know, they're doing some cap wizardry. I think Saquon Barkley's cap at this year is like less than $4 million. I don't know how it's possible.
Well, we've talked about this like before, right, and I just want to touch on it one more time, is that people got to be more patient with Kwesi because they keep pointing at that one draft that he – didn't seem quite prepared for, and you know, maybe didn't get the best players out of him. But since then, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, and that first draft is like year zero. That's like, hey, we just got here. We're going on essentially the work that was done by the scouts that I inherited. He comes in, we clear that whole department out, okay, and you're starting over from scratch. This is really the first off season that we are seeing Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi really go all in on their philosophy for building the team. You're seeing them say goodbye to essentially all the veteran players they inherited, other than like Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith's all left, I think.
Harrison Smith is pretty much it. And I understand. And I think part of what they were hired to do was I think the Wilfs looked at the roster and said, hey, coaching was bad. Okay. We think you guys can come in and we think you can win with the veteran players that we already had on roster. And guess what? That first year, they did win with them. And they kind of tried to roll it back for a second year while moving on and building for the future. It didn't quite work out. And this offseason, you're really seeing them. They're going to be competitive this year, Adam. I agree with you on that one. But they're really building towards having all of that cap space next year with a rookie quarterback potentially, where you've got that window where you can be super competitive and add just a lot of veteran, talented players around a young nucleus. I love what they're doing. This is exciting. This, to me, is way more exciting than another year of Kirk Cousins. Maybe you hit the wild card. Maybe you don't. You probably get knocked out in the playoffs again, and you roll it back with everyone's favorite veteran players again for another season. Like, we've done that a million times.
You know, something that's not getting talked about enough is how having Kevin O'Connell as a head coach really makes things easy and comfortable on quarterbacks coming in. Like, Sam Darnold's going to come in and he may have to start a few games while a rookie gets ready, and that's fine. But Kevin O'Connell will taper that Vikings offense to him, and they will figure out what's going on while that rookie gets ready. So it's like Kevin O'Connell is such an important piece to this Vikings. And with all his experience he has a quarterback and coaching, I mean, it's a great position to be in for a young quarterback.
He had us believing that Josh Dobbs was the future of the franchise there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Josh freaking Dobbs. People forget that Sam Darnold, he was the third overall pick the year that he came out of the draft. He was a really high pick when he came out. And, you know, I will always defend our Vikings players. And so I'm going to put my purple colored glasses on here for a minute and say, I'm not going to hold his time with the Jets against him because they're a dumpster fire. And okay, so he spent some time with the 49ers, a good opportunity to sit and learn underneath Kyle Shanahan. He could actually come out and surprise everyone and look legit in Minnesota.
Did you see a lot of the reports from the media and team sources talking about how Sam Darnold is much more valued and respected quarterback in those circles and among fans? Fans don't like him, but apparently GMs and teams and analysts, they really like him.
That's because he's talented. Good. And Kyle, you left out the Carolina Panthers stint with Matt Rhule.
I forgot about the Panthers.
The Matt Rhule era where he's running a college offense. It was dog shit. Both of those teams he was on were crap. And then I said this on the show last week. I think it was Mark Schlereth, and I'll say it again this one. He reported it. He said, Sam Darnold reached out with his agent to go to San Francisco, said, hey, I'd like to be there. I'd like to go to quarterback rehab because I want to learn the game from what I consider to be the best team or best coach. Can you help me? And they gladly took him in. And it says something, too, because if this was, I don't know, insert any random backup, Kyle Shanahan's not going to pick everybody to come back there and be their insurance policy. So that's one. To go back to your point, Adam, I hope that I wasn't coming off like I don't like Kwesi. I love Kwesi. I'm just saying the Howie Roseman model seems to be successful for many teams. They seem to have everybody want to come in and play for value, not cheap, I'll say.
Right.
But I love, and I'm with you, Kyle, I love this part of it because you really see – a team who they're going to go through the draft and build, but they're doing what you're supposed to do in free agency, which is make phone calls, plug and play. And how many times have I said it on this show? Get rid of a player a year early rather than keep them a year too late. They're finally doing that.
Adam Thielen.
Thank God.
Like, yes. You could have made a case for keeping Adam Thielen around for another year, but I mean, it was a good opportunity for,
And Adam Thielen almost looked like a wide receiver one there in Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good opportunity to get Addison out on the field. Still a
good opportunity for him. Because he's always played second fiddle.
Yeah. Although we did say on this show about 4 or 5 years ago, like, I think he's better than Diggs. Like, I know I said that a couple of games. I was like, I don't know which one's wide receiver one, but he's pretty damn good. Going back to what you said, Kyle, I was trying to jump in, but you guys went – back-to-back talking, and I didn't want to interrupt because you guys were flowing, and I really liked your points. We want to say, hey, good luck to you in New England, KJ Osborne. Have nothing but respect for that kid. He's a stand-up dude. I was in attendance for the Kirk Cousins game in Carolina where Sam Darnold and the Panthers came back, and it was overtime, and he had the walk-off touchdown. I know he had, like, the end-of-the-game touchdown bomb against Detroit a couple years ago. He's been a solid player. I don't necessarily love the fit in New England because there's not a wide receiver one to take the heat off of him, but I think he could have a good 8-9 year career in the league, and wish you well, man.
Another thing people aren't talking about with Osborne is that he was so well liked among that team. The locker room loved him. He was such a positive influence in there. That's going to be hard to replace. And I hope that the team's ready to go forward and try to keep that atmosphere going without him.
Absolutely. Best of luck, KJ Osborne. What else do we have? So we got KJ.
He would have been Tom Brady's favorite receiver if Tom Brady was still in New England. You know that? That would have been a connection. Yeah.
10-yard slants. Let's do this, man. So we talked about Brandon Powell in, KJ Osborne out. We talked last week. If you guys didn't hear, you've been living under a rock. The running back situation is taken care of. That's pretty sweet. I'm so stoked that Aaron Jones is going to come here on a 1-year deal. He was so petty about it, too. I got the details on it. It was, dude, the Packers offered him like $5 million that went to $6 million, and the Vikings offered him $6 million that went to $7 million, and he was like, I'll sign with the Vikings. I love that so much. But let's talk about a Minnesota mainstay. I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer, even though he has Troy Polamalu numbers. But he certainly, in my book, in my opinion, is a Ring of Honor candidate immediately when he's done. Harrison Smith comes back for what we think will probably be his final year. We said that 2 years in a row. And he takes a discount. He's been in the league for
I did not think there was any way he was going to come back.
Right.
I didn't see it working.
But he didn't want to play anywhere but Minnesota, and I respect the hell out of him. And here's the thing. This isn't one of those, you know, I just said, get off a player a year early, blah, blah, blah. He's still going to start. He's still going to be damn good. Let's not throw any of that kind of conversation. He's going to be really good. But you got to think, this is probably the last hurrah. I'm certainly glad he's staying. I'm glad that he will have played his whole career for the Minnesota Vikings. But Ring of Honor, book it, stamp it. He's got to go in there. But here's the thing that I saw on Twitter and why I'm talking about Harrison Smith myself. Are they going to retire 22? And who is it going to be underneath that name? It should be Paul Krause.
I don't think you can retire it.
I know. If you didn't retire for Paul, you can't retire it for Harrison. And it's tough because they're both outstanding safeties.
I don't foresee teams really retiring many numbers anymore. I think that era is just kind of over with. You put players in your Ring of Honor, and I think that's good enough. Like, that's somehow a bad
You guys thing. Feel that he's Ring of Honor worthy?
Oh, 100%.
I think he'll go in.
Yeah.
I hope so. We're stoked to have him back. When that happened, that was one of the more shocking Vikings updates that happened. I was expecting him to be cut or released or whatever, and I'm shocked that he's staying. It is like a $9 million hit this year. I'm not sure what the details will be next year, but I'm so stoked for him. I'm going to have to buy a jersey. Not only do we have the last name, but he's been here so long and been so positive. No nonsense. We love that guy. Yes, fire breather.
Like Minnesota doesn't have decent safeties. They got decent secondary there at safety. You know, they got players that have been stepping up into bigger roles. And honestly, Minnesota's been kind of preparing for that moment when Harrison Smith moves on, but he ain't really slowing down or showing much signs of having desire to hang up his cleats. So, I mean, let him keep going.
I agree. I'm excited for him to return. I want to see something from Lewis Cine. He's obviously still going to be on the roster, but it's kind of hard, like you said.
I don't know about that.
You think so? Really don't.
I mean, we'll see what happens when we get closer to the regular season, but he could be a
Here's my question for you guys. Do you guys still consider Josh Metellus to be a safety?
It's one of those weird hybrids. I guess you would say yes. But, yeah, he does everything. That stat that we put up or we shared in our chat like a couple months ago was insane. The different places he played last year.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
And how he had like twice as many pressures of any other safety in the league. And Pro Football Focus had to create a position for him because otherwise they would have just blown their numbers way out of whack.
That's pretty funny.
I like that. I'm so stoked to have Brian Flores back as the defensive coordinator. Like,
they knew exactly what they were doing when they took Josh Metellus and gave him that contract.
Yeah,
they knew exactly what they were doing.
They had a plan and they executed it.
What's up, John? Thank you for coming in as well, Fire Breather.
John's a good buddy of mine. He actually owned my cat before I did.
Oh.
Bernie's first papa, I think.
I'm laughing at Fire Breather's comment. It's like talking about Cousins taking a hometown discount, but also $180 million guaranteed, 100 mil. It's funny. Somebody made a little thing on Twitter about it, and it was like, I want to retire a Commander. I want to retire a Viking. Oh, yeah. I want to retire a Falcon.
But you guys know the saying, happy wife, happy life, and his wife's going to be happy going back home to Georgia.
I don't know what he's going to do after, but he can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants. And you know what's crazy? Knowing Kirk, just to make more money, still be involved, I could see him doing one of two things. I thought about this way more than I should have the other day. I could see him going on a really big religious run where he builds like a mega church.
Oh, yeah, Christian really ministry leader and stuff like that.
Definitely could see him doing that. Or let's say he goes the business route of staying with football. Maybe he's an analyst. Maybe he makes money talking about the game, which I would love to listen to him talk about. Dude, he's got enough money. He could be a minority owner in any team.
Oh, yeah.
He's got, and think about it. Let's say they put $50 million of his earnings aside. They're like, all right, we can live off of $50 million for the rest of our lives. I think all of us could agree, probably be okay there. He's still going to have like $300 million on the side and say, hey, I'd like to buy stake in the Atlanta Falcons since I'm here last or something. Sure. It's wild how much money he's made. I couldn't believe that the other day. But,
hey, Kirk doesn't do Pizza Ranch anymore. He's all Totino's now or Tostitos.
Tostitos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, speaking of Kirk, you won't see him wearing the number 8 in Atlanta. He will be wearing number 18, which we saw today. So that's somehow going to be like a whole segment somewhere. So that'll be weird.
Fine.
Hashtag not my problem. I like Kirk. I thank you for your time. Glad to not have to dwell on any of that anymore. Longtime Minnesota Viking that is no longer with us, Danielle Hunter, signed a contract with the Houston Texans. What do you guys?
That's amazing.
What do you guys think of Danielle Hunter? No longer.
I'm going to pull his numbers up. I was sad that he's not going to be here, but I'm certainly happy that he's getting paid. And I think he's a Texas guy, so I like that he's getting to play for his home state.
He's actually from the Houston area.
Nice.
So this is a homecoming for him.
Do you guys know? Do the Texans run a traditional 4-3 defense?
I'm not sure. I know that they have the new head coach down there, and I know that
did as of a few years ago. I don't know if they do now or not.
Because in a weird way, as good of a player as Danielle Hunter is, he almost doesn't fit the sort of hybrid scheme, the 3-4 off or defense that the Vikings run underneath Brian Flores. Like he's a really good 4-3 edge rusher.
You can put his hand in the ground. You can stand him up. He can get things done. But he seems to do better with his hand in the ground.
Yeah, but like just because you can stand him up, I don't necessarily think you want to. He's just I don't think he, as good as he is, I don't think he quite fits the system that Brian Flores wants to run, and that's why I'm a little more okay with them letting Danielle Hunter go in free agency. Now, if we were still running just a straight Mike Zimmer 4-3 defense where you are a defensive end, rush the quarterback 100% of the time, yeah, you would have, I think you would have made more of a case to keep him. But in this kind of this hybrid move players around scheme that they have now, I'm a little more okay with him moving elsewhere.
And we saw another former Vikings defender wind up in Texas. Eric Kendricks going to the Dallas Cowboys on, I think, their only transaction of the year so far.
Yeah, he reunites with Mike Zimmer. Two revenge games for former
Kirk Cousins. Where did he say he was going first? And then he said, like, no, I'm going to Dallas.
The 49ers.
I think San Francisco. Yeah. Francisco. But he wants to play with Mike Zimmer. So
he is not worried about a Super Bowl ring.
Certainly not.
Going to the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, who are all in, and at the end of the first day of legal tampering, they signed a, wait for it, special teams player.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's it. Going over to Danielle Hunter's stuff, his time at the Vikings 2015 to 2023, career earnings $94.8 million. He signed a two-year $49 million deal with the Texans. 48 of that is guaranteed. So while he was certainly
48 to the 49.
yeah, right. That's so funny that 1 million wasn't on there fully guaranteed. But he was certainly, I don't want to say underpaid because these guys have life-changing money, but at his position, he was certainly not the highest paid when he probably could have gotten paid a little more while he was in Minnesota. But I'm reading on NFL.com. Yeah. So $48 million in guaranteed money, $49 million deal. It's a two-year deal. He's just now turning, I think, 29. It's nine, so he'll turn 30 this year. So he's still got some good tread on the tires left, but I see why they would be the Vikings. They would be a little hesitant for an older player, but he certainly was, he overachieved here, especially for a third-round pick. Remember – that the first year he didn't even start and he had double-digit sacks with Minnesota.
We know he was so physically talented, but we didn't know what he was capable of. And we kind of saw the same thing with DJ Wonnum, who got a really surprisingly low contract on free agency.
Another
and I was looking at those numbers and I said, you know what? I wish he would have stayed in Minnesota for that. That's what I was saying.
That's another hometown move, Adam. He is a South Carolina Gamecock, and he's going to play for the Carolina Panthers. I wish DJ Wonnum well. That sucks because Carolina's going to be terrible. So have fun not winning any games, especially with the absence of Brian Burns, another crazy free agency move. The Giants have arguably one of the best defensive lines in the NFL now with Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and They have another great edge rusher over there.
That offense, though.
That offense is awful. it's so bad. Which kind of leads into our main topic, but yeah, good luck to Danielle Hunter and DJ Wonnum. You will be missed. I love both of those players. Especially loved DJ Wonnum during the COVID year.
And just worth a mention is Jerry Tillery being signed.
Yes.
We're not sure what his plan is, but he is a large gentleman on that defensive line.
My brother's a Chargers fan, and he had nothing but terrible things to say about him. He said he was terrible, but I'm glad that the Vikings at least addressed the position. I have a feeling that will be this year's Marcus Davenport, only cheaper, but we'll see.
I'm okay with investing a small amount in missing, but when you're laying down over $10 million and you just completely whiff, that's no good.
Yeah.
We have not, Wes. We will talk about that shortly. I will talk about it now before we get into the main topic. Justin Fields goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
For a bag of Doritos.
Literally. A sixth-round pick right after the Steelers signed Russell Wilson. Now, I personally don't think Russell Wilson has anything to worry about as far as starting. Justin Fields may be younger and more athletic, but when it comes down to it, in my opinion, I don't think he's a great passer. And he has turnover issues. That was evident last year through his career. And if you're not a great passer and you turn the ball over, those are the two worst things you can be as a quarterback. Just it doesn't matter how big and athletic you are. So I'm not surprised here, though. Once the tires started getting kicked on these quarterbacks, with Kirk going to Atlanta, and then we signed Darnold, the Raiders signed Minshew, all these things – you start seeing less and less places that guys, they want to go for basically a project that's going to be costly. All of the rookie quarterbacks that are going to get drafted are projects. Even Caleb Williams, I'll say it now, he's still a project. But they're cheaper for longer. And the thing about Justin Fields is, after this season, you either have to pay him or do the fifth-year option to eventually pay him. So I like the fit for him. I think that's a no-nonsense coach and team and city. But he's definitely got to understand he's going to sit behind. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl champ, and he might be on the decline, but even declining Russell Wilson, I still think is better than Justin Fields.
I don't think a year on the bench learning from Russell Wilson is a bad thing for Justin Fields at all.
Right.
I think we also saw other quarterbacks like Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, is going to take a backup role this year.
Yep, in L.A. That's a good one. Forgot about that, too. We're trying to remember all these free agency moves.
So it's interesting that there were quarterback openings happening, yet a lot of these quarterbacks are still having a lot of trouble finding a place where they can go and play. Mm-hmm. Established quarterbacks are having to take backup roles, and I don't want to call Justin Fields and Jimmy Garoppolo established quarterbacks too much, but, I mean, they were NFL starters last year.
Shit, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's wild how quickly stuff changes, but it's all about – potential and then money. They, you know, if you have that 4-year window, like the Vikings seem like they're about to trade up and do, they're going to have time to move around, and teams would much rather go with a cheaper, younger option than finding an established guy and paying him a lot, which is crazy to me, because if it's proven and you have the tape on NFL tape, even like let's say Caleb Williams, for example, you can find Caleb Williams tape and say, I love the off the script throws. He looks like Aaron Rodgers here, blah, blah, blah. That's college film. But you have these guys that are established in the league, and they still can't get any love. I'm not saying that the teams are right or wrong for that, but I'm just saying it's going to make it hard for a guy like Justin Fields, because you guys know on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else, he has a massive following of people who are like, he didn't get a good shot. Chicago did him dirty.
Right.
He had 3 years. You know, if you're a great quarterback on a shitty team, all of us can look at Andrew Luck and be like, he's getting the dog shit beat out of him, but he's very good at his job. I didn't say that one time when I watched Justin.
You know, one thing I can talk about this, though. David Carr will forever get crap for being a draft bust, but Houston gave him nothing.
Yeah, I agree. You're right, Adam.
Nothing.
He did get beat to shit. What's up, real purple and gold?
So it's not always about the talent of the quarterback. The situation is very important as well.
Tim Couch years ago with the Cleveland Browns, going way back. I don't know who all in the chat even remembers that one, but Tim Couch was a talented quarterback on a shitty Browns franchise, and he's another one that gets labeled as a bust, where it's like, if you probably would have put him on any other team, Tim Couch, I don't know if you'd have won a Super Bowl with him, he'd have had a much better career than what he did in Cleveland.
Tommy Gunn is in the chat. For you guys that aren't watching live on YouTube and you listen later on whatever platform, I will shave my head and eat the hair if they draft Spencer Rattler. He is a pain in the ass, and nothing I've heard about him is good from anyone. So good luck to whoever drafts that fucking Johnny Manziel disaster, because he's not – he's an immature kid, and he's a punk, so no thank you.
The Rattler stink.
Oof. With only Mullins and Darnold, we're definitely drafting. Yeah, let's talk about it. This is a perfect segue. So the Vikings traded, and I have the photo here just so I can have the information right. I think Friday it came out around lunchtime or one of the later days last week. The Vikings traded with the Texans to jump back into the first round. So the Texans do not have a first-round pick. I do believe – or maybe they do. Maybe they had two from that. No, they traded up with the Cardinals. Maybe the Cardinals have two now. Anyways, the Vikings have two first-round picks in this year's draft. They have 11 and number 23. The Vikings received pick 23 and pick 232 in the seventh round. They gave the Texans a second-round pick, number 42, a sixth next year, and then a second in the 2025 draft. I think this is a great deal for the Vikings. I don't think that's too much. I was kind of surprised the Texans said yes. But I guess we can talk about it. They've got to be gearing up to draft a quarterback with this ammunition, right?
My only question is, where can they trade up to? Because right now I'm still hearing rumblings that Washington's trying to trade up to one and that they are somewhat committed to drafting quarterbacks. And I'll hear conflicting things saying that, okay, maybe Washington isn't committed to drafting a quarterback immediately. And now, you know, you see New England clearing house, like they're guaranteed to draft a quarterback, but then you hear, okay, well, Minnesota's already talking with them, or they've already got a handshake deal in place with Arizona at four, and it's like nobody knows anything. We're all just kind of guessing.
You guys know where I stand. If they draft only to four and take J.J. McCarthy at four, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be pissed off. You go do whatever you can to entice New England to get to three, and you take Drake May, or for some reason the Commanders take him, that you take Jaden Daniels at three. I like J.J. McCarthy. I like him a lot. I think he's a good leader. I think that's undervalued. And like I said last week on the show, I think that for as much as Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines had a super team in college, it's hard for a quarterback to make these on-target, like, dime throws when you run the ball five or six times in a row. But when he was asked to do that, 90% of the time he did it with ease. I just don't see the value there at four for him, because there are levels and tiers to these quarterbacks. But the problem is, number one, we talked about it on the show many times, quarterbacks are overvalued and overdrafted. Even if you hit on them, they still sometimes are overdrafted. And number two, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Giants are all contenders. And we're not even talking about New England. I'm just assuming that they're going to trade with New England, because my justification for a New England trade is that team is awful. They need so many things on that team.
Need a lot of
and
help.
What would help you get there? Two first-round picks and possibly a second or a third in other years. But
so I am not the first person to propose this, but I actually think that it could be cheaper for the Vikings to make two moves and move up twice to get higher than what it would be to jump from like 11 to 3. So yeah, I almost wonder if you could see them go from 11 to 8. Like, I think 8 is where the Atlanta Falcons are. And then go from 8 to like 3 with New England and do it in like two moves like that, instead of trying to package from 11 to 2. We'll see. We shall see. How good our general manager can lean on his Wall Street past and his ability to make trades. Because I think that a lot of this is going to come down on draft day.
We got these two first-round picks, and then you kind of got to package next year's first-rounder in there too. And I hate to give that up, because I hate giving up those future first-rounders. But
I do too.
If you're going all in, you got to go.
Yes, if you believe this is the draft, that you've got a guy in the top three or four picks that you legitimately think is your franchise guy, and I'm not talking about we need a quarterback and we're just going to hope and pray one of them falls to us and you end up with Christian Ponder, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you legitimately believe this guy is the face of your franchise, you go up and you get him, even if that means giving up next year's first round pick to do so.
Yeah, well, this is what we talk about. To 23 and you end up having to take, you know, Bo Nix at 23. That's not what you wanted.
Right.
Well, that's what we talked about before. As I lost my thought. My dad is calling. I'll jump into this real quick to talk about it. Sorry about that. Any thoughts on Caleb Williams' attitude, maturity? No.
Caleb Williams doesn't bother me. His dad does.
I don't think so, man. I'm not, Tommy, I'm not calling you a boomer. I think this is a lot of boomer talk, though, because a lot of the guys that write stories like this are dinosaurs. Here's the way I would look at it. I'm always trying to be progressive in every way that I can. This is going to be the new NFL. This kid has already made like $10 million in college. This is the very first class of NIL babies of the college football era. Money's not an issue to them. They got money that'll set them up for life. Now it's going to be the little things, and they can call the shots. I still think, and this is my crazy hot take, I still think with Caleb Williams, he could pull an Eli Manning and be like, I'm not playing for your shitty team, so call around.
And well, already know he's a big fan of Green Bay.
Wouldn't that be some shit? Oh, I'd be so mad. but
yeah, Caleb Williams needs to let go of his dad and hire some management support.
It's okay to have your dad, like, you're going to talk to your father anyways if you're close with him, regardless. But I agree, Adam. You need to have a professional there to do their job, because they can find, you know, the fine print for everything. They can show you angles to get more money or leverage or whatever. I think winging it is a big risk. And you got balls to bet on yourself like that. But if you don't have representation, that's a slippery slope. And once you go in the wrong direction, it could get real tough real fast. But I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to go number one overall. they've made the comparison. They've made the comparison of him to Aaron Rodgers like 10 times. And if that's – I've heard this too. He looks better than Patrick Mahomes did in college. And I'm like, I mean, you kind of can't pass that up. I don't know. I don't even care about losing KJ. Yeah, RIP.
I mean, honestly, no, I really don't. I liked KJ Osborne, but you can move on from him.
Yeah,
for sure. Going back to your point, though, talking about getting your guy, I remember what I was going to say. We said it on the show a million times, and then we have to echo it again. This is what coaches and GMs do in this era. I don't know if this changes in the future. I'm sure everything will change and shift to a different mentality and direction on how they acquire talent in the draft. But when you get a new coach and GM in the same year, like the Vikings did 2 years ago at this time, they are going to be handcuffed together, and they're going to be handcuffed to their guy of the future. And now
I'm so sorry if this is causing a lot of noise or static or whatever, but
it's okay.
He is really loving this microphone right now.
Now, the viewership always goes up whenever the cat's on the show. Adam, you might remember, your memory is better than I am for contracts and stuff like that. So the new head coach and general manager, did they sign a 4 or 5 year contract when they came in with the team?
I don't remember.
Either way, it's actually, and I'm not saying that either of them are on the hot seat, but for both of them, they're actually kind of coming up on put up or shut up time in terms of what their contracts are. So it is an important moment for both of them to be like, hey, this is our stamp that we're putting on the franchise, and they need to be able to show the Wilps that we're headed in the right direction, and this is what we're building.
I've seen the media kind of label that, okay, you know, the Bears are going all in on Caleb Williams. Is that smart? You know, a newer GM, and it's like, there are quite a few teams with newer GMs going all in on a quarterback, and that's what you kind of got to do.
So I read here while you guys were talking, Kwesi signed a 4-year deal. I think it's worth $12 million, so $3 million a year.
And we're entering year 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hitting that point where you have to shape the franchise in the direction you want to take it, and to be able to tell the Wilfs, hey, look, I hit on X, Y, and Z, and this is the way we're headed. And being able to get that young rookie franchise quarterback is how you extend yourself as a GM. That's how you get that next contract from the Vikings. Same with Kevin O'Connell.
I don't think Kevin O'Connell is in any sort of warm seat whatsoever at all.
No, they're not. They're not. But
Kwesi might be a little warm since he has very little experience, and a lot is hinging on what he does this offseason. So, I mean, that's kind of a big question mark for him.
But, man, I tell you what, you hit on a rookie quarterback who looks like the next big thing in the NFL and for this franchise. That's some job security. That's the ultimate in job security.
I'm trying to find the comp here for J.J. McCarthy because he was brought up. But
I see Real Purple and Gold here asking about the ones who live, and I have not watched any of it yet. I've heard it's very good, though.
Looking here on Bleacher Report, I'm trying to find the date this was put up, but I don't see a date on it. But talking about Drake May, that's certainly who I hope we go after. You've got a veteran quarterback that can start, maybe not the whole year, maybe, but he can actually sit and learn. We brought in Josh McCown, quarterback's coach, to get him. But let me read you a couple things about Drake May. To start it off, to make Adam very happy, pro comparison, Justin Herbert, Adam's favorite quarterback in the NFL.
He's got talent.
Overall rank for this draft, number 3, 9.3 overall, top 10 player grade. And I'll read you a little bit of the summary here. Prototypical quarterback, size, speed, arm strength. His arm talent is the core of his game. He can throw 100 mile per hour fastball in a tight window. Over the middle or outside the numbers. He can do this off platform. I've watched his games personally. He's sneaky athletic. He's not a special runner.
I've seen people say that he's a better runner than Jaden Daniels, but just not as fast. Like, he makes better decisions with his feet.
He can run, which is great. He can do the off-scripted throws, like running to the left or the right, and then, you know, finding the wide-open guy, kind of like backyard ball. I like that he knows how to slide. Jaden Daniels is certainly smaller frame. Like, he might be the same height, but he's not a stick. And he got some shots put on him last year. So I know that Drake May can – I've seen him get beat up in games, too, being a Carolina fan. I've seen the pass rush get to him, and he just takes hit after hip. It says here he has a little bit of Superman syndrome. There are two or three plays a game where things break down and he feels the need to do something outrageous to save the play. So I'll have to learn how to be a check down merchant in those particular moments. But
yeah, but you can – I see, when you got Justin Jefferson, and this is a knock on Kirk, and I swear I won't do this all season. But, dude, when you got Justin Jefferson or you got TJ Hockenson across the middle, you can play Superman once or twice a game and throw it to him. And you know what? I would rather, as heartbreaking as what it was, Brett Favre tried with that throw in that Saints game. He was trying to make a play. I would rather have that than Kirk. Oh, I'm going to check it down. 3-yard play, check down on a fourth down. And then the game's just over. And you're like, what? What was that?
That's definitely his biggest criticism from his haters, you know. I won't say that he shrank in every big moment, but I think the majority, being 51% or more of the times when the big lights came on, he didn't have that impressive play or game-winning. He had plenty of game-winning drives and some good moments, but I kind of agree with you. I'd like to see you go for it and say
– You can't be stupid with the football, but every now and then you just got to Brett Favre it out there and be like, Jefferson, make it. Because that's how you end up with the Minneapolis Miracle play, right?
Well, it's that too. It's an old expression, Kyle. It's you. If you're going to strike out, I'd rather see you strike out swinging than just standing there.
Yeah,
I kind of tend to agree. Now, that's a slippery slope. You know, it could be like Josh Allen coming in, where you're just like a turnover machine.
Yeah, but
I like him. I like him a lot. And that's just not my. That's not just my North Carolina bias showing through. He checks all the boxes you're looking for. As they said on other podcasts, he's the moldable clay. He's that type of clay that you like because he's got the size, the speed, the arm, all that. It's just up to the Vikings coaches.
Keep up with the speed of the game once he goes becomes a professional, because as a quarterback, you got to make those reads and decisions so much faster than college.
Right, and I think that's any rookie quarterback's biggest adjustment is how fast the game is and doing the pre-snap stuff, but. If that clicks, and I'm sure in a Kevin O'Connell offense, and then you got Josh McCown teaching the position, and then you can ask Sam Darnold for help, I think he'll be okay. My dream scenario is that he doesn't start a game this year and he learns. If they put him in halfway through or five games in, sure, I'll watch and I'll be rooting for him. But I would like for him to have time to have a little bit of the pressure not on his shoulders immediately to come in. Like when Caleb Williams gets to Chicago, he's starting week one, no doubt about it. You're getting thrown to the wolves. Same way in Washington. They don't have a quarterback, so.
Maybe I am insane, but I want to see 4 or 5 weeks of Sam Darnold or more. I actually want to see him. I want to see him play well for the Vikings to the point where you're like, I don't feel rushed to start the rookie. The worst case scenario is probably Sam Darnold goes out and gets injured immediately, and you have to throw the rookie in before you wanted to, right?
That's how that Justin Herbert shit happens. Team doctor is going to in the lungs like Tyrod Taylor week one. Drake may start for us. That's fucking crazy, man. No, I agree. And you know what? The great thing about what you said, Kyle, as you say that, I'm painting a picture in my mind. If the Vikings over 6 games are 3-3 with Sam Darnold, that's not terrible.
No.
I'm not – nobody's going to be excited to watch the team lose. I understand that. As a fan of the team, I want them to win. But I'm also looking to see – does Sam Darnold look competent, and is he not seeing ghosts like he saw in New York? And if the answer is yes, and they're at 500, they have a viable chance to make the playoffs. Hell, they were going to make the playoffs last year, and they started 0-3. So
I want a rookie quarterback that I am excited about. I really don't care what they do this coming season. I am super excited for 2025 when they have a huge amount of salary cap to work with. Because that's the year, that's when you can really start talking about building a team that's going to go out there and compete and win some football games.
The only real hole on offense right now is left guard, and I don't know if Mullet Dan is going to be the guy to start there.
Well, I sure like the haircut, and I sure want his jersey based on the haircut.
God, he looks like such a hillbilly, and I love it so much.
But what you want an offensive lineman to look like.
As of right now, I don't know if they're going to be able to sign Dalton Reisner back, and he's going to command a nice big salary wherever he goes, and I don't know if that's something the Vikings seem – they didn't sound very hot on the idea when they were asked about it, so
I wonder why. I wonder why.
I think it's because it's going to be a big payday.
Right now, the cap space the team has is $16.9 million after all these moves, so – they still have money left, which is nice, but it's crazy. As of right now, can you guys guess?
Guards have been getting paid in free agency.
They have. Can you guys guess who the highest salary cap, the base salary? Let me change that. Guaranteed number. Oh, yeah, the cap number. We'll do the cap number. Guess who the highest paid Viking is right now that Kirk Cousins is gone? Any takers in the chat?
Brian O'Neill?
Brian O'Neill. Cousins.
Is it?
Yeah, active Vikings, not the ones we're paying to play for other teams.
I think Kirk Cousins is still the highest paid player for the Minnesota.
Absolutely he is.
But not counting Kirk, is it Brian O'Neill?
Oh yeah.
Brian O'Neill is due $22.9 million this year.
Damn, I'm good.
Jefferson right below him at 19.7. So
there is
there's absolutely no hurry for Justin Jefferson. I mean, he's getting his money this year on that 50-year option. And in the meantime, Minnesota can take, you know, whatever time they need for him to figure out what the situation is and compensate him fairly on a deal they both agree on.
Does anyone think they go crazy and trade up to number 3 and draft Marvin Harrison?
Did you see the rumors that Justin Jefferson said no to a $30 million a year extension?
Yeah. I heard that.
Holy shit. He's going to make $35 million a year. That's fucking great.
When I did my estimate as far as what these players are going to make when they get their extensions, I estimated that Jefferson is going to get about 31. So him saying no to 30 makes me feel kind of smart.
Is there a price? Like, what's the price that you say no to Justin Jefferson?
It's close to that. And I know you guys don't like me for a couple
35, of... 35? 38?
40?
I know you guys don't like me saying that before, especially people in the chat. But when it gets that high, I'm 100% on the you can get traded. There's no fucking way that works. How are you going to pay a quarterback in 3 years?
When he's making
quarterback money.
dude, I'm not enough of a salary cap guy to put a hard number on what it is, but I know mentally there's a point where I'm like, okay, we got Jordan Addison.
Yeah. Well, also, we can all agree that we don't care what their contract pays them.
No, what I really don't. What we care
about is cap hit.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Vikings, I don't care how much actual money is going in the account. It's what the cap hit is against the team. That's what I care about.
Does so it
figure out a way to pay him mountains of money? I'm fine with it, just as long as that cap hit isn't crazy.
Yeah, does it hinder the Minnesota Vikings' ability to construct a roster moving forward?
That's like, right.
Yeah.
Also, I kept this comment up for a while, for like 4 minutes. Tommy, it looks like AI wrote your stuff here. It's hilarious. It really does look like a computer typed this out for you. Blink twice if you're in trouble. Thanks. 42% of the cap would probably be too much. 42% of $255 million? Yeah, that would be a lot. I don't know any player that would make that much.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the big news that happened Friday, I believe. The Vikings are sitting now in the 2024 draft with two first-round picks at number 11, which is their original one, and then they took the Texans at 23, their pick. Everything is pointing for them trading up. It's just a matter of, will New England trade? Is it Arizona? Is it the Chargers? It's one of those. I would be willing to put my paycheck down to say they're going to trade with either number 3, number 4, number 5.
The Chargers need to get some kind of offensive weapon, right?
Yeah, they lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And
Austin Eckler.
And Eckler. Yeah, they're going to be hurting for those offensive players and skill positions. It's tough, man. All signs in my head, like I said, putting my bias aside, Josh McCown being the quarterback's coach, he actually coached Drake May in Charlotte at Myers Park. I don't see how they can't get – that's the guy they're going after, but they have to have a willing dance partner that's going to trade. And I – even if they got to 3, let's say my dream scenario works, which is what makes the most sense to me, and I know other podcasts have said this. Let's say they get to 3, they trade with New England, and they offer – whatever picks they offer, that still doesn't take the Commanders away from taking him. They could take him at 2 easily, and then hope you like Jaden Daniels a lot. You know, I don't know what they're going to do, but I certainly hope that it winds up that way.
If they get to number 3, they have to believe that there is 2 guys that they value really close to one another, and then if it's either of those 2, they're happy with the pick.
Shout out to my buddy Mike Castellino on Twitter. He's been doing it for like 40, I think today was 41 days in a row. Pray for May. He always tags me in it. He's hoping that we get him too. I hope that's what happens. You don't have to do that for much longer, Mike. The draft is like 5 weeks away. So
the Vikings are pretty much telegraphing what they're going to do. But is there any way that you
think matter?
Draft speak can free up something? Because I'm going to be like, we're after J.J. McCarthy. We're trying to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. Do you think that could actually trick someone into taking McCarthy earlier?
I don't think so. I think every team is focused on what they're doing to worry about that. The only thing I didn't like, I said, you know, on a couple spaces with my buddy Mike that I just mentioned, is I feel like you need to make the trade sooner than later. I think everything costs more on draft day. It's much like if you go Christmas shopping the night before. Good luck finding shit that's not already bought, you know. I think they need to trade up with New England sooner than later. And I don't think it's a secret either. If you don't sign Kirk Cousins – Sam Darnold is the guy that you bring in. That right there told you, oh, yeah, they're going to draft a quarterback. We don't know where. Thank you, Steph. But,
thank you.
But that's exactly what they said. I mean,
because I've heard that too, that all the Vikings are telling their hand that they're going to draft a quarterback. Well, as soon as you didn't keep Kirk Cousins, you were drafting a quarterback. Now, whether you're drafting a quarterback at 3, at 11, at 23, it doesn't matter. You're drafting a quarterback. Like, you don't have to play poker face anymore. That's what you're doing.
And I think that it's this is hilarious. I'll get to you. What's up, Vocal Vike? Thank you for joining in. Tommy says maybe we can get Dan Snyder back in the building for one last thing for him to ruin in Washington. You know what's hilarious? I saw a comment, not about the Commanders, but about the Giants. It's like, the Vikings are so bad, they ruin other franchises. They were referring to that playoff loss 2 years ago to the Giants. They got taken extended. It's like, we're so good, we ruin other teams. Vocal Mike, what's going on? What do you want to talk about? We're talking about the trade with the Texans. We went over KJ Osborne leaving, Brandon Powell returning, just everything that's been going on since last week. We did the show right when we found out Kirk had left to Atlanta. So if you want to let us know.
Here's something I wanted to ask you guys. Is there a scenario that the top half of this draft just gets so wild that the Vikings go, you know what? The guys we wanted, the two or three guys we wanted, are out already. We couldn't trade up. We're going to stay at 11. We're going to take a defensive tackle. We've got 23. And at 23, we're going to take the second wave of quarterbacks.
Bo Nix, 23. Do it.
Bo Nix at 23. That's a scenario that could also unfold. How pissed would you be if that happened?
I mean, if you can't get value early, I mean, you don't overpay. Right. Can, like, give up, like, if you had to give up a 2024, 2025, and 2026 first round pick, and, you know, in addition with the extra one from Houston, that might be way too much in a lot of teams' eyes.
Kyle, I think you're right. I think that is possibly a scenario. The problem is Vikings Twitter would explode. That part of it literally would blow up in flames. But here's the deal. You're right. There are 10 teams in front of the Vikings as we sit right now. They can do whatever they want. They can trade with whomever they want. There could be someone out of left field with a bridge quarterback behind us, either the Broncos or the Raiders or whoever.
Wouldn't it be something the team traded up ahead of Arizona to get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
It's a good point.
I mean, that could happen.
All of that could happen.
That's why I love the draft. It's so wild.
I'm super excited for our live draft show this year because the top end of this draft is going to be insane.
Well, it makes it interesting too. Like,
we might have an early night here for Vikings fans in the draft if they trade up.
Which is crazy because we started doing this live draft during COVID when they got Justin Jefferson, and we had to wait like 2 hours. And then they had the win or the playoff season the other year, so it was like, okay. Now we had to wait again. Now we're looking at potentially the first 30 minutes they're going to be on the board.
So well, we don't feel like Minnesota's going to be able to move up to one. I don't think that's possible.
No, I don't think the Bears would let them anyway.
So I do think they try to move up in that top five, but even then, you're going to be paying a lot.
Vocal Vike says they want Jaden Daniels, plan A, plan B, J.J. McCarthy. I like the top four quarterbacks. I like Caleb Williams. I don't think the Vikings have any shot of getting him. There's three after that. I like Drake May the most, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. Do I think they are all worlds apart? I don't. I think they each possess different things from the other two that are really good. My question, and we talked about it earlier, is what is the value? If they trade up with Arizona and they can't get to New England at four and they take J.J. McCarthy at four, I would be pissed. I said it earlier. I would be pissed. I don't see him being – fourth overall, and I know people are going to, you know, draft quarterbacks earlier than they should, but I'm looking.
I think someone is going to go insane and take Penix way higher than what he's being projected to go. He's going to be one of those. He's one of those quarterbacks that there is some head coach and GM out there right now that's going, we know the injury history. We know. But the upside for him is just massive.
He could very well be the Anthony Richardson of this draft.
Yeah, I really think so, Adam.
I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy's thing here, and I'm on NFL Draft Buzz. They do player breakdown.
I want J.J. in Minnesota.
Overall rank out of this draft is 28. Now I understand there's all the other positions you have to look at, wide receiver, tackle, tight end, all that. But 28th overall, and you're going to take him at fourth overall, that's a huge gap to me. That would be the one where, in Kyle's
would
scenario.
Would you be okay at 11?
If he was there, I still don't think he'll go that far. I think there would be teams behind us at 12 and 13 that would jump up.
He's not – that's the problem. He's not he's not going to be there at 11.
But here's the cool thing about the draft.
Could you get him at 8?
That's a good point.
Right.
That's exactly my point. Because Kirk Cousins changed this entire landscape for us and the guys behind us. Because you got to think, if you're looking at the top 10 in front of us right now in the draft, the first three presumably taking quarterbacks right now, unless we trade with New England. 4 is Arizona, 5 is the Chargers, 6 is New York. I don't know if New York is going to take a quarterback or not. We'll see. They need everything on offense. But the report is they're not happy with Daniel Jones. Shocking. We called that 2 years ago. And you
got Denver, who's a wild card at wild.
Yes, but everything past the Giants at 6, they're not taking a quarterback. The Titans are loading up on like offensive tackles and wide receivers and stuff. They're trying to see what they have in Will Levis. And you got to think, they took Will Levis and Malik Willis back-to-back years.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to take a third shot at the quarterback. They're going to try to give at least one of them a shot. Atlanta just got Kirk. And then Chicago has 9. They'll already have their quarterback. And at 10 is the Jets. They just signed the Cowboys offensive tackle. What's his name? He's there forever. Really good tackle.
Oh, I don't know his name, but I know
Smith,
who you're talking about.
I believe.
Yeah, Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith. So he's a New York Jet now. None of those teams are taking quarterbacks. So there's this huge run. There's a big pause. And then there's a second wave. So that we're in a decent spot, but I just don't see with the trading, like Kyle said, if J.J. McCarthy is still there at number 8, somebody call in Atlanta and be like, I need to go up and get this dude because I know these next three teams aren't going to, but Minnesota's right in front of me. I want to go get him. So it's tough. I've said to Vocal Vike, I haven't seen you on here before. I just having a conversation with you, and we'll get to Tommy's comment in a second. I'm out on the Penix train. I don't like the injury history there. And I traditionally, I have left-hand bias. I don't like left-handed quarterbacks. I think it's a little bit weirder. But from everything that we saw at the combine, his stock rose at the combine because he can throw outside the numbers better than anybody. So,
yeah, and J.J. McCarthy gained a lot of steam at the combine too. He's projected to be moving up draft boards. Well, I'm not really quite sure why Drake May's sliding down a bit, but that's what I keep hearing, is that he's sliding down boards a little.
Yeah.
He's on the time of year. It's the time of year where people get bored with players that they've been really high on for a while. I'm serious. You get bored with a guy that you've been really high on for a while, and you're like, yeah, but this other kid impressed me a little bit.
But does Drake May paint his nails?
Well, it's like I really like Joel Klatt. And he's a college analyst. Like, he watches all the tape. He goes to college games, calls a couple of them a year. And he says, any other year that Caleb Williams isn't in the draft, he goes, I think Drake May is easily the number one overall dude. And I laugh because Chris Sims has him 6 out of 6. He was like, his foot worked so bad I wouldn't draft him here. And I'm like, yeah, you also said Kellen Mond was like your favorite quarterback of that draft class. Like, I don't know who to believe. And I am taking a shot at Chris Sims because I want to pick on him a little bit. I do appreciate the originality of why. Like, I'll take a different take that stirs opinions any day of the week.
I appreciate honest takes, even if they're not great.
Yeah,
if
of course.
If you have an honest take and you stand up for it, fantastic.
Because I don't think Chris Sims said that to just get clicks. He played quarterback. No. His dad is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, he knows the game. But there's also guys like Merrill Hodge. You guys heard what Merrill Hodge said about Caleb Williams, right? He said he was like nothing special. And it's like literally everyone else on any network and any team says, no, that's the number one overall pick. And he's been the number one overall pick for 2 years. What are you talking about? So it's funny to hear all these opinions on these guys. Ooh, here you go. Minneapolis Miracle game on NFL Network right now. Ugh. That's a heartbreaker. We know what happens after that. Here's the most intriguing question of the day. Which quarterback puts mayo in their coffee?
I put a protein shake in mine, not mayonnaise.
Will Levis, we're talking about you. That's a hate crime, sir. Straight to jail. Straight to jail.
That's a red flag on my scouting profile.
Yeah, who's the guy on American Idol? And for that reason, I'm out.
See, I would have said that Mahomes putting ketchup on his steak would have been, you know, a red flag too, but that would have hurt to not draft Mahomes because of that. No, he goes to Manny's and he puts ketchup on a steak. No, don't you put ketchup on a Manny's steak.
Yeah, Chicago thought that was a red flag enough to take Biscuit over him at number 2. That works out well for them. Mitch Trubisky at number 2 will always be funny. Oh my God.
By the way, I do have to wonder if anyone listening here has ever been to Manny's in Minneapolis, because I can't even afford to park there.
None of us can afford that.
I'm trying to think if that's where my ex-wife and I went for our dinner after the wedding, because her mother, rest in peace to her, they were very, very nice and accommodating to us. It was like an Italian place. It was very good food. I don't know if that was it. I'll have to ask. Maybe. Wouldn't that be weird? The guy that lives in North Carolina his whole life is the only one out of the three of us that went to Manny's. That would be funny.
Oh, Justin Thomas has been there, but he's also – Justin's a big steak guy. He can make it – he can grill a good steak. A little surprised he'd pay them for a steak when he can make one at home so much better.
I was going to say, I can buy you a whole case of steak for the price of what they charge for one.
Oh, $300 on this meal.
Was it good? Boy. I mean, was it worth $300?
Yeah, that had to be something. Because I can't bring myself to do that.
I was just talking with my friends from Nashville. Shout out to the Nashville Airport canine crew over there. One of my buddies says, you know, you're getting older when you got a Blackstone grill for Christmas and it's all you talk about. And I just laughed. I said, we're all morphing into Hank Hill slowly. You just have to accept it. You can't stop it. So you might as well.
Yeah.
You might as well just embrace it, man. There's nothing wrong with being happy about cooking. I think that's wild about America. We, you know, I feel like a dork because I'm cooking a lot. You should cook a lot. It's expensive as shit to eat out.
You know, yeah. I'm really surprised that West hasn't taken advantage of that soundboard that he has on here.
Oh, I that's forgot true. About that.
Yeah, what sound are we looking for?
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.
That's how we're going to sign off on the show.
Hold on.
Not Steak Lessie, Minnesota.
Have we done this one yet?
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Oh, Diddy Green.
If you want to crown them, then crown your ass.
So good. Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah.
I think that's all I have for today. You guys got anything you want to add before you take out?
No, man. Let's do the plugging. We want to say thank you to everyone. Vocal Vibe, Tommy was in here. Justin, Andrew, of course. Wes. John was in here earlier. Thank you guys so much. Firebreather, welcome back. We appreciate you all so much for chiming in. I was hoping that these pre-posts to let you know when we go live, we'll have a live engagement. I figured with the news.
Show without the happy couple here?
What's that?
I think
they're not in here.
They're not here, no.
What's going on?
They broke up with us. They're mad at us. They're breaking up.
Oh, no.
I'm just here starting a bunch of bullshit. Thank you, guys. Here we go. Let me miss watching Danny play his drums. That's funny. Off subject before you go, if you've been North Carolina's College Basketball Central, do you have a college team? Yeah, I'm a Tar Heel fan all the way, man. I was very bummed this past weekend. They lost the ACC tournament to the Wolfpack over at NC State. But happy for the NC State crew because they haven't won an ACC tournament in like 37 years. And I understand if you guys want to hear me be arrogant, douchey sports fan, we call – where I'm from, we called the University of North Carolina, UNC, the University of National Champions. And I said to a couple of my NC State friends, that's what winning feels like. We don't celebrate conference tournament championships. We'll see you at the NCAA tournament. See how you do over there. But, I root for the Tar Heels, man. That's probably the only hometown bias that didn't leave outside of the Hornets, but the Charlotte Hornets are trash. They've been awful my whole life. So how you have Michael Jordan forever as a partial owner and you're the worst team in basketball is a riddle to me that I can't solve. But
well, they're starting a ball boy. So can you do?
He was good. That's a crazy thing. I went to a few games when I lived at home. He was fine. I don't know what the rest of the starters and the supporting cast were doing, but he was all right.
I used to have a Charlotte Hornets starters jacket back in the day.
Didn't we all used to have one of those? Those were the coolest ones. It was the coolest color scheme too. I love that green and purple color scheme.
We got another piece of Vikings news.
Uh-oh.
We signed a defensive lineman from the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, the one that had the meeting today?
Yeah, Joan Williams. It's official now.
You know what's crazy? It's I read somewhere today. You guys have to confirm it. We'll confirm it in the chat after the show. He was supposed to come in a year or two ago, but he failed his physical. So they've had interest in him. But now he's going to sign with the team. That's defensive line help. So there's another piece of breaking
news. Now, was he there when Kevin O'Connell was there? I haven't done a lot of research on him.
I can find the article and tell you what I was looking at earlier.
Because I don't know if Kevin O'Connell has had an experience playing with him. But that would be kind of a cool connection.
That would be.
But you can check out my work over on the Viking Age. I put out some articles over there several times a week. Click on those articles to help me out a lot. Right now I'm having kind of a rough month because earlier the site had some technical issues and I did not get as many views as I thought I was going to. So going and clicking on a few of my articles would make my day. I'd appreciate it greatly.
I'm going to share one of your articles right now on my Facebook, Adam.
You can also check out any of my social media outlets and say hi to me on X or Blue Sky or probably not Facebook. It's only really family that I got on there.
Twitch, but most other Instagram, social media all there. Of it.
Oh, yeah, I got Instagram, I got Threads, I got Twitch, I got all that stuff.
MySpace.
I actually logged into my MySpace not too long ago.
I did it about 4 years ago, and I almost keeled over and died from cringe, so I immediately deleted it and hoped that no one had secretly saved all my stuff on there. It was so bad. Looking back at your younger 20s self when you're in your young 30s, woof, it was
Don't
bad.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Don't do it to yourself. There you go, Adam. I just shared your latest article about five free agents the Vikings will regret not signing. You guys should check that out.
Thank you, thank you.
You can check me out at Vaguely Square on social media, mostly Blue Sky. That's my social media platform of choice. I share a lot of my photography work, so check it out. If you like anything, share it, click on the links, maybe buy a piece if you so choose.
I saw Blue Sky's finally got hashtags now.
They sure have.
Which really helps me to find content and other people that have similar interests. I like it.
Yep.
It's a good change.
You guys can also buy Kyle West's photography stuff here at kylewest84.pickfair.com. As much as I advocate for Adam Carlson and the Viking Age, I also advocate for you to buy some of Kyle West photography. He has a very scenic and photo... How do you say this? Photographical? Is that a word?
Photogenic?
Photogenic. That's the word. I'm making up words.
He's got a good camera.
He's got a good camera. And he's got a good town to shoot. I like your town and the rustic home, small town vibe that you have there. There's a lot of good stuff in the fall when you take.
You got a good eye for atmosphere, especially like some of the creepier stuff.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The trick is to shoot around the meth labs we have in the Midwest.
Oh, that hits home. Good Lord.
Yeah.
You guys can follow me on Instagram and the old Twitter or X machine at NC Dog Dude if you so choose. That's all I got. Adam, take us to the promised land.
All right. Once again, thank you for everyone who joined us in chat here. We always appreciate interacting with you. And we'll be back next week with probably some more wild Vikings news. Who knows? But in the meantime, stay classy, Minnesota.
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.